We present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Searle, and your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
Hello, thank you. Hello, and welcome to the first edition of a new series of I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. Since the last series, our teams have had countless offers to do other things, any other things, but undeterred, they're all back. So will you welcome, on my right, Tim Brooke-Taylor and Willie Rushton. And on my left, Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. Let's get straight into the first game. For those of you who remember the round, What's Your Name? We've now got a subtle variation, What's His Name? I want each of you, teams, to name one of the other contestants, and to make it really tricky, you're not allowed to repeat a name or name yourself. And we're going to start with you, Graham Garden.
Spoilt for choice here. I name Tim Brooke-Taylor.
In like one?
In one.
I name Barry Cryer. In two.
Barry?
I'm in a cleft stick.
It suits you.
Graham Garden.
Ah. We have an interesting situation in the game now. Willie Rushton.
Who have we
had
so far?
Let me just remind you.
I'd like to welcome you all to the cleft stick.
Because I'm on the horns of a thing.
Well, I think, Willie...
Graham plays the cleft stick.
Since nobody's named you, Willie, you don't officially exist as far as this game is
concerned. Oh, right.
As far as this entire episode is concerned, which means that you have to be docked 10 marks. And you've got a lot to catch up with.
Yes. Thank you.
Right. Now then, this is the point where I give the teams advance warning of the late arrivals that they'll be doing later on in the programme. And this week, I'll be asking them for late arrivals at the Orientals Ball. Late arrivals at the Orientals Ball. That should provide plenty of fun. Right, now, we're going on to the round Good News, Bad News. Someone whom I'm about to nominate will start with some good news, and then the next person will give us the corresponding bad news. Then the next person will give us the good news, and the person after that gives us the... Well, you know, anyway. And it goes on until I press the buzzer. And we're going to start with you now, Barry Cryer, with some good news.
Good news. All the trains are running normally.
Bad news. All the trains are running normally.
Good news, you can now get to Glasgow in 2 hours.
Bad news, but only if you book for Sevenoaks.
Good news for men with one leg shorter than the other. There are vacancies for waiters on the advanced passenger train.
The bad news, of course, is that you'll have to serve the meal backwards on the return journey.
The good news is that breakfast is now being served at 120 miles an hour.
Bad news, in the buffet at St Pancras.
Well, that spontaneous eruption of... appreciation from the audience indicates that Tim Brooke-Taylor's won that round, putting Willie Rushton back on the map, fortunately. Willie,
welcome
you're
back.
Going to start this next round of good news.
Good news. Despite rumours to the contrary, the doctor has said that I shall dance again.
Bad news, whether I want to or not.
OK, Graham, you've got a point there, and will you give us some more good news?
Yes, good news. The SDP have elected a new leader.
Bad news, it's Tony Benn.
Good news, not that Tony Bennett.
bad news, it's a misprint for Boney M.
Good news, though, the SDP are now number 3 in the charts.
Bad news, Maggie is still at number 10. In the charts.
Tim and Willie have forged ahead now, so... Tim,
not the real thing.
Tim, it's your chance now.
Willie's off the horns of the thing, is he now?
Yes.
Yes, right.
Tim, it's your turn for the good news.
Good news. Barry Manilow's back.
Bad news. Barry Manilow's front.
No offence, Barry. And all your million fans.
And Barry Cryer wins that round for his team. And we go on now to the sing-along. In this round, each panellist has to sing along with a disc. Once the tune and tempo have been established, the sound of the disc will disappear and the panellist will be left on his own. After an embarrassing pause, the disc comes back and the panellist scores points if he's still with it. Even more points if he's no longer with us. We'll start this round with you, Tim. You're going to sing along with Julie Andrews.
Oh.
In Supercalifragilis, etc.
Good luck, Tim.
Thank you very much.
It's supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Even though the sound of it is something quite atrocious, if you say it loud enough, you'll always sound precocious. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Because I was afraid to speak when I was just a lad, me father gave me nose a tweak and told me I was bad. But then one day,
absolutely spot
completely
on,
completely in the wrong place.
Right.
But you're going to get 10 marks. Barry Cryer, you're going to sing along now with Barbara Cartland. Fulfilling one of your
lifelong
ambitions.
Not for the first time, I believe.
And the song is How Deep Is the Ocean?
How much do I love you? I'll tell you no lie.
Uncanny, Barry. Sound just
how
like her.
How deep is the ocean?
My key.
Keep taking the pills.
How many times
a day do I think of you? How many roses? I had a ticket but I didn't go. Are sprinkled with dew? How far would I travel to be?
Oh!
Absolutely brilliant, Barry. That was tremendous.
It's unfair. I've seen them singing together in a mud bath.
That was Ian Wallace.
Oh.
3 marks to you, Barry, and it's your turn, Willie, to sing along now with Max Bygraves. Who else? And the song is Gilly Gilly, Austin Pfeffer, and so on.
There's a tiny house.
There's a tiny house.
By a tiny stream.
By a tiny stream.
Where a lovely lass.
Where a lovely lass.
Had a lovely dream.
Had a lovely dream.
And a dream came true.
And a dream came true.
Quite unexpectedly. In Gilly Gilly, also paper, cats and ella bogey by the sea.
Yeah, you got a little bit ahead of it there, Willie.
It was a 78.
I can only give you 7.
It would be very depressing if he naturally sang the same as Mac Pryor.
It would.
In that case, I'll give you 10. Graham. Yes. Graham Garden now. You're going to sing along with Judy Garland in that lovely old song by George Gershwin, Swanee.
Thank you, thank you. I give the 1, 2, B among the folks in D-I-X-I-E, you know my madness, waiting for me, praying for me down by the Swanee. The folks up north, well, see me no more me when no I get to the Swanee. Shut up!
hardly
I'm going to give you, Graham, 10 marks for being the only one of the four to lose it while the music was still going on. Now, we come to Mornington Crescent. As you know, Mornington Crescent is a very old game which has been played by millions. Famous people have played it too, and I don't mean these four. And recently we were thrilled when Mr. Francis Drummond of Battersea sent us an archive recording of the game being played by Franklin D. Roosevelt, Adolf Hitler, Benito Mussolini, and Winston Churchill. And this was recorded at Nuremberg in 1938. We're going to play part of it now, and we apologize for the poor sound quality. Here it is.
Now, let me see. Broadway. Appazzini a tutti frutti.
Downing Street.
Oh, 52nd Street.
Czechoslovakia!
Via Veneto, get the ice cream.
Whitehall.
Whitehall. Brooklyn.
Mornington Crescent!
Well, Adolf won that one. I think you'll find that was pretty interesting. And if any of you listening at home know of any examples of or evidence of Mornington Crescent being played at an earlier date than that, I do wish you'd let us know, because we'd like to include that in the programme. Now we go on to round six.
What's the score?
The score... Wait a minute, I haven't computed Adolf Hitler's contribution to that one. Yes. We go on to round six, and this is a round called One-Handed Doll Dressing. For this new round, I've given each team a nude doll. Their aim is to dress it as quickly as possible. But, and this is the snag, each team member must only use one hand. The winning team is the first to finish dressing or the last to be arrested. And there's a time limit of 1 minute, so we're going to start teams...
But theirs is already inflated.
We're going to start now.
What?
You only obviously only take them off. Put them on the wrong way round.
Look, stop. If you would mind sticking her legs into these knickers, you'll find I know a thing or two about this.
Graham leading.
Terrific.
Under the desk, Barry.
I think Tim can be done for contributory negligence.
Well, that round of applause indicates to you that Barry Cryer and Graham Garden appear to have dressed the doll first. Would you remove that bit of newspaper, please, for a routine inspection? Disgusting and disgraceful.
Ours hasn't recovered from a roaring affair with Action Man.
Well, I think the audience
here... Ours was violated by a Tonka toy.
Right, now we have a game that was sent in about 15 years ago by Lynn Anderson of Old Coolston in Surrey, who's since married and emigrated to Canada. It's a game called Initials. I'm going to read each team some abbreviations, and they must tell me what they think each stands for. And then I shall read out what they actually do stand for and award marks as to which is the funnier. And we're going to start with Graham Garden. Graham, yes. Your initials are TFB.
TFB stands for Tony Blackburn.
I was just going to say that that's so funny, I'm not even going to bother to read out of it. No, actually, Graham, you could also have said Thatcher Ferry Bridge. Would you believe that? No, you wouldn't.
Is that real?
Is that a place? Is Thatcher a place? It's certainly not a person.
Willie.
Hello.
You can't expect geographical information from your chairman. I'm reading out what I've got here. and it says Willie Rushton, which is also a place. Willie, your initials are Feet Up, F-A-E-T-U-P.
Feet Up. F-A-E-T-U-P. Fred Astaire and Elsie Tanner's Unnatural Practices. Or it could be London Transport's obituary, Fares Are Ever Totting Up.
A popular answer, that one, and may score more marks than Fleet Airborne Electronic Training Unit Pacific.
It's more amusing.
Marginally. Now we go over to Barry. And Barry, your initials are SCORE, S-C-O-R-E.
S-C-O-R-E.
Yes.
Stop crucifying Oliver Reed, everybody.
What yes. a rotten society. Should be banned immediately.
He's a very nice fellow. I mean the society.
You'd like to know that you could also have said, with equally comical effect, Service Corps of Retired Executives.
Oh, no tickler.
But you didn't, so you don't get them up. Now, Tim, your initials are ASLEF. A-S-L-E-F.
Alexis Sale. This is for OTT viewers. Alexis Sale likes enunciating... Tony Blackburn.
There was a hint of applause there.
Only a hint.
I suspect that it might be rather more than what will welcome the actual answer, so I won't give it. Graham Garden, we're going back to you now because you're so far behind that I think it's necessary to give you a chance to pull level with NATO, N-A-T-O.
N-A-T-O. Oh, it's a football team. The News at 10 Occasionals.
Well, it is also the National Association of Taxi Cab Owners.
Yes.
And there is another explanation.
They have a fleet in the Atlantic, don't they?
Graham,
that's where they are. I've often wondered.
You want one?
Graham failed to draw level with that. Now we go on to the next round, which is wittily entitled Jest Expander. And it's a variation on the old favourite tag wrestling. This time somebody has to start telling a joke and can then be interrupted by the others if they're approaching a punchline. The others will interrupt by using their buzzers. The interrupter then takes over and has to head towards a joke of his own. And the winner is the first person to complete a joke and, in the context of this programme, make history. Right. We'll start with whoever would like to start a joke. You look fruitful, Barry Crown.
Ambiguous introduction. This man went into a pub with...
There's Timbrook Taylor.
And he ordered half a pint of bitter. And at that moment, a girl came up to him and she suddenly said, sleep with you!
Challenge from Graham.
I'd rather go for a drink in the pub next door. Which she did. At this point, the man noticed that a large white horse had walked into the bar. And was enjoying...
Who was that lady, he said to the large white horse, that I saw you with last night? That was no lady, he replied.
Challenge there from Barry.
That was ma mère.
I think, yes, I have
nearly
a feeling...
A conclusion there.
I have a feeling that Barry very nearly completed a joke.
He never has before. I don't see why he should do it now.
There's a challenge from somebody, but as I didn't switch the light off... Oh, it's from Tim.
My mare, who is the... I'm going to regret this already. Is the mother of Pam Air. What if he's going to finish on my mare?
He said that he...
And Pam Air said, you should have heard about the vicar. Who had difficulty with his teeth, and he used to be hellfire sermons he used to give, and he used to click his teeth. So he went to the dentist and said,
"Right, Graham."
And he did go to the dentist and said, "Do you know there's a white horse drinking in that pub down the road?" There?
A challenge there from Tim.
And the dentist said, "No." what sort of teeth do you want? He said, false teeth. So the vicar tried out the teeth. They were made. He came back next Thursday and he tried them in. And he looked in the mirror and he went,
challenge from Barry.
I must throw these teeth away immediately and pop down to another joke.
Challenge there from somebody. Tim Brooke Taylor.
Can we have a rule in here that somebody just doesn't pop to another joke, as Barry brought in? I think that's slightly...
Oh, there was a natural flow there, I think.
You just leave that to me.
Certainly.
Okay, now, Tim, let's keep it moving, team.
Certainly. Speaking of moving, there was this little boy who had to eat his prunes, and his mother said, you've got to keep it moving. You see. His mother said, you've got to eat your prunes, and he said, no, and she said, well, look, if you don't eat your prunes, God will be very angry with you. So then you go...
A challenge from Graham.
And so will your father when he gets back from the pub. No, it's funny I should mention the pub, because in this pub, there was this white... Give me a chance. There was this white horse drinking at the bar. I thought that's strange. He thought I'll engage it in conversation.
Willie Rushton.
This is how the conversation went. Who was that lady I saw you with last night?
Barry.
And the horse said, it's not that old mamere one, is it? The horse said, no, listen, here's one, the horse said. I'm down Ascot and I'm down Ascot running. Not speaking too well, but I'm running. I see the Duke of Norfolk, don't I, you see?
That's not the Duke of Norfolk, that's my wife.
Okay, well, without any doubt there, Willie Rushton won that one. And we go on to the late arrivals, and this is where I sit back and enjoy with the rest of you the team's announcements for the late arrivals at the Oriental's Ball.
Willie, welcome, please. First and foremost, get him out of the way quick. Mr. and Mrs. King and their son, P. King, and his sister, Nan King.
Funny, look, there's Donald looking through the keyhole, known as the Peking Duck.
There's somebody who's been pushing the boat out. It's old Sam Penn. He really likes to tie one on. If we have a hangover tomorrow, he'll wake up with a really mousy tongue.
There's Sammy Orai and the Magnificent Seven Dwarves.
And his friend Jack Arter.
He's a bit of a louse.
Party from a horn manufacturer's in Hong Kong. I'll stick to my Anglo-Claxon, I think.
Oriental graffiti from Grey Farrar's Yabu Sucks and
a nasty nip in the air.
Here comes our old favourite Hugh Flung Dung, who is with him. He has a friend who is dressed as a medieval knight, so we can say there's a man with a chink in his armour. No offence.
Who let John Junk in? No.
Oh, look, there's Black Olaf Calcutta.
Mr. and Mrs. Shugar and their Tong.
Mr. and Mrs. Tsar Pork and their delightful daughter, Sweet Anne Tsar Pork.
Strangely enough, an Iranian transvestite. The Geisha of Persia.
With his friend Quentin Crispy Noodles. Author of The Naked Collective Farmer, but that's what, wait a minute, wasn't that a gong bang? Oh, no. It's the Ming family who've just dropped in. Their daughter, Leon. Very scrutable. And their pig tail. Nurse the screams.
There's Rick Shaw.
Of course.
And those awfully nice Sony people.
Here's one. Yes, look. Look who's come along to have some fun. Mr. and Mrs. Cairo, in they run, with their ancient, most peculiar son, the old, bizarre Ian Cairo.
It's cabaret time, and topping the bill, Toya Sauce and Sheena Easton, singing Yanksy Doodle Danksy.
Oh, there's that ancient Chinese dental appointment. 2:30?
Well, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm going to commit Harry Carey. Oh, Harry Carey.
And a half portion of number 37.
The Irish Chinese comic, Paddy Fields.
Ladies and gentlemen, on the principle, always leave them wanting more.
How high
or
is
always
it,
leave
gentlemen?
Them wanting something. We're going to...
Oh, it's just in passing. How high is a Chinaman? We always remember that.
It's level pegging, Tim. Do you want one more chance to forge ahead?
No.
Nanking coal? Oh, no.
Marshall.
That brings us to the end of this week's programme. Join us again next week. Until then, from all of us, goodbye.
Mary Cryer, Graham Garden, Tim Brooke Taylor and Willie Rushton were being given silly things to do by Humphrey Littleton, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme was produced by Paul Mayhew Archer.
Well, I'm glad to say there'll be more Mayhem and Madness again at the same time next week, as you've just heard. But if you can't wait until next Monday, you can hear another edition of I'm Sorry, I Haven't a Clue on Saturday afternoon at 27 minutes past 12.